On the second day of this Triduum of Requiem Masses, which the Ordo of the liturgy of our Gregorian Rite suggests, doesn't impose, but it suggests, but it is so beautiful and so rare, especially in this day and age, when people, whenever you go to a funeral, especially I'm talking about Catholics, not necessarily others who don't know any better, not that Catholics do know that much better, but either way, you go to funerals and they're wearing white, which is the color for the resurrection. And for a long time, it was a big deal to say that they were having the Mass of the Resurrection. What nonsense is that? The person is there, cold as ice and stiff as a board, and you're talking about the resurrection. They hope for the resurrection, and that's what it's all about. But as a result, most people have missed the whole beauty of the liturgy. And what's really interesting is, in the Novus Ordo, this sequence for the Mass of the Dead, the Dies Irae, is prescribed, but it's left optional. And whenever you put something optional in this day and age, it means they're not going to do it. Well, not I. Either way, this is the Gregorian Rite, and it's not optional. But I did want to at least go through some of the verses of this magnificent hymn, because it is something that we've had for probably about 1,000 years, maybe more, and it is magnificent in every way. It's one of the most beautiful pieces of Catholic poetry that there is. And they use a lot of liberties, which were permitted by the Church, by the way. For instance, in the earlier part that I spoke about yesterday, it speaks about the Sibyl. The Sibyl was that mythological creature, not necessarily a goddess, but maybe, that was the inspiration of poets. And the Sibyl for Dante Alighieri was the girl that he liked. And the Sibyl for many others, even saints have had their Sibyls. So it's not that we're going back to paganism, but we are borrowing their terminology in order to give a greater interpretation to that which we do. And also in the hymn, we use the, which we'll see probably today or tomorrow, because we will have the third one tomorrow, of the dog that was supposed to lead people to hell. And so we use all these symbologies of the world, of culture, just as, for instance, we use evergreens and Christmas trees and wreaths for Christmas. They were originally pagan, Germanic. That's why, until very recently, we had no Christmas trees in Spain or Italy, no wreaths. Those were pagan things. And yet the Church has converted them, has baptized them, as we have done since the time of St. Peter. So, the words of this magnificent hymn, and of course you can follow along if you want to, but I will be trying to tell you something about it. The day of wrath is a day of judgment for each one of us. But this particularly focuses also on the day of wrath, which is the end of time, the end of the world. So both ends, which we will, at one point or other, have to survive. And we will survive, especially if we are devoted to our Lord in the Eucharist and to our Blessed Mother with the Rosary. How great shall be the trembling! And who on earth will not tremble when they remember their sins? One will always think, oh my God in heaven, what have I done? Will I be forgiven for this that I have done in the past? I have confessed it, but was I forgiven? Was I truly sorry? Or am I going to be damned to hell because of my sins? So how great shall be the trembling when the judge shall come to examine all things rigorously. The trumpet with a sounding blast, echoing over the sepulchres of the whole world, shall summon all before the throne, the just on the one hand, the unjust on the other hand. So at that point, you will know, if you haven't already, where you're going. Death and nature will stand aghast when the creature shall rise again to answer before his judge. Death and nature. Death, who is not really a person, but it's personified here and throughout Catholic liturgy and Catholic literature. And nature, again, not a person. But they do not count on people coming out of the tombs. And they will stand aghast when the creature that is you and I shall rise again. And we're going to be rising again from our tombs to in our body, not just our soul. When we die, it will be only our soul. And we will already know if we're going to heaven or hell or purgatory, in which case, then we will be going to heaven. Thank God for the gift of purgatory, the last reprieve from God. The written book shall be brought forth containing all for which the world must be judged. God does not forget any little thing that you or I have ever done against his law. When therefore the judge shall be seated, Christ our Lord, whatsoever is hidden shall be brought to light. Nothing shall remain unpunished. And just think of all the sins that you have committed, of which you'll be horribly ashamed. Everybody will know about them. Everybody. So tremble. But you know what? Since everybody's going to be in the same shape, they're going to be worrying about you finding out what you did. They're not going to be worrying about what you did. Remember that. They're going to be afraid for their own selves. What shall I, wretched, then say? Whom shall I invoke as protector, when even the just shall hardly be secure? Even the just, though their sins be forgiven before they die, have committed sins. So maybe some of them horrible mortal sins, and they shall tremble that everybody will find out what they have done. O King of awful majesty, who of thy free gift savest them that are to be saved? Save me, O fount of mercy. O King of awful majesty. It's very interesting that in this day and age, and my spiritual mother, Reverend Mother Mary Angelica, got into the groove of the day in which she lived, especially the last years that she lived, that everything was awesome. Oh, that's awesome. And when actually awesome means frightfully surprising. But the world, everybody was saying it, so she started saying it too. And I reminded her a couple of times, and she cut it out a little bit, but not totally. But that's okay. She has to answer at the end of time too. Awesome. Well, the same thing here. Awful majesty. When we see God, we're going to fall on our faces, tremble on our knees, and we hope we have Pampers on. It will be awesome. It'll be awful. Who can be in the presence of God and not fear? Remember, and it turns now to a prayer for us, from us. Remember, O loving Jesus, that for my sake thou didst come upon earth. The incarnation, for my sake. Let me not then be lost on that day. Let me not be lost. Because if I am lost, then that will be the end of it. Hell for eternity. Pains untold, mystery untold, sadness and anger and hatred untold. Oh, how horrible it would be for those who are already in hell or who will be going to hell. In search of me, thou sattest down, weary. How is this? God Almighty? He did. Suffering the cross. thou didst redeem me. Let not so great a labor be in vain. Whenever we sin, especially mortally, we are making the passion of Christ, the incarnation, be in vain. Why did he come? Why did he suffer if we don't care? And if we're going to go to hell anyway? People don't think about this. Somebody has to remind them, and unfortunately, I'm one of the few. That's why I have to save my voice, so I can have maybe another 10 or 20 years to let you have it, as you deserve. O righteous awarder of punishment, grant me the gift of pardon before the day of accounting. O righteous awarder of punishment, he is the judge. I groan as one guilty, while I blush for my sins. We turn purple, not red, from the guilt of our sins. O spare thy suppliant, my God, thy suppliant, I who beseech thee, beg thee, and pray thee to save me. Thou who didst absolve Mary, that Mary? No. We're talking about Mary Magdalene, St. Mary Magdalene, and Mary of Egypt, the penitent, who was a prostitute and converted and was saved and went with Lazarus and the other two Marys, Mary Magdalene and Mary and St. Martha, to Provence, where he became the first bishop of Marseille, and they all were martyred together at the end of their lives. Thou who didst absolve Mary, in this hearken to the thief. What thief? Saint Dismas, the thief that was the first person canonized by the church. The first person who was promised, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Saint Dismas, to me also thou hast given hope. Tomorrow we will finish this wonderful sequence, this wonderful hymn of the Holy Liturgy. But in every way, we see how the liturgy, and of course, the offertory antiphon, and then the communion antiphon, which you can read in the Campion Missal, page 557, 558, are magnificent, much more in Latin than in English. English is just blah, you know. And after all, English is the language of Protestants, so who cares? Spanish, St. Teresa of Avila said, is the language of heaven. We'll see. I don't care, I know them all. But the thing is, you can get so many graces, so much inspiration from this holy sacred liturgy that we celebrate. That, to tell you the truth, gives me life, gives me already a share in the resurrection. And it is from him, Jesus Christ, our King, our awesome judge, and his most holy mother, the mediatrix of all graces, that we receive salvation. And as I said yesterday, I repeat today, for those who are not here, every day at communion I beseech the Almighty Mother, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, who is a gift from Christ, when my time comes to die, come to fetch my soul with my guardian angels, St. Michael, and the other guardian angels that I know that I have, at least three, and take my soul to the judgment seat of Christ, and be thou my lawyer, my advocate, my mediatrix, O most holy Mary, that he may allow me to enter with thee into the eternal realms of glory of heaven. And that is what it's all about. We need to go to heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.